Welcome to Catholic Sports View on Relevant Radio. A look at the athletes and coaches who shaped the Trinity League, exploring where athletics meets faith. Now, here is your host, Bob Gibson.
Let's kick off the show this week by welcoming in Steve Miklos. He is the girls softball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. Orange Lutheran, the number one team in Southern California, and fresh off a big tournament championship win. Coach, congratulations and welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's high times at Orange Lutheran, all times, because we know what a great campus it is and what the atmosphere is over there, especially within the athletic department. But to have the top softball team, and we know what that means here in Southern California, that's really a happy time for you.
Yes, it is. Yeah, Orange County or Southern California, definitely a hotbed for a lot of good softball players.
No doubt, and you've got some of the top ones. We'll talk about some of your players in just a minute, but early on in the season, how important is it? The question pretty much answers itself, but how important is it to get off to the great start that you've gotten off to this season?
It's always great to get off on a good start. We're very pleased with the way we're playing. We lost some pretty good players from last year to graduation, three girls that are off playing in the Pac-12 and getting playing time, so we weren't quite sure just how we were going to gel, and our chemistry has been phenomenal, and the girls are just great. We have a lot of talented players.
Yeah, for sure. The level of competition you've played early on, but looking at your schedule, I mean, obviously Norco, we know, is one of the top programs. St. Lucie's, Chino Hills, I mean, we see these top teams that you've played. Obviously, you set out to schedule, I imagine, a tough non-league schedule.
Yeah, that's intentional. As you know, we're in the Trinity League, and the Trinity League is a very tough league.
Oh, yeah.
So we try to prepare as best we can, and the best way to do that is to schedule tough competition in the preseason.
Obviously, early on, it's tournament season, and a couple of back-to-back tournaments, and you just your only loss this season is to Norco, but you went ahead and avenged that loss by defeating Norco in the tournament championship over this past weekend. Was it kind of sweet to be able to come back and beat that Norco team?
Definitely, they beat us in the Etiwanda tournament 7-5, but our girls came out of that game knowing that we definitely can compete with Norco. Norco is a very talented team, and we were looking forward to a rematch. So I thought we'd see him again. We have a couple opportunities to see him again later this season in the crew tournament and also in the playoffs.
Steve Miklos is our guest this week on Catholic Sports View, head softball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. You know, well, we obviously know what a great baseball program you have at Orange Lutheran, too. You know, is there a little competition between the softball and baseball programs? Because both teams have been right up there for years.
You know, our program really gets along well with the baseball program. We share batting cages with them, and Coach Borba and I get along really well. Our girls support the program, the boys program. The boys program supports our girls. So the two programs really get along well together, which is really nice.
You know, it's the smallest school, I think, student-wise in the Trinity League, Orange Lutheran. But, this school makes the most out of the athletes that show up on campus. What makes the Lancer community so special over there?
The kids we get really want to go to Orange Lutheran, Christian-based environment, which is, awesome. You know, they can pray in school and just be in a nice environment. I'd say that the kids we get typically, I mean, they come to Orange Lutheran because they want to go to Orange Lutheran. It's a special place. And I tell people that all the time, that you really have to experience the environment because it's definitely as a family at Orange Lutheran.
Yeah, it's so true. I think that's the word that comes up so often when I talk to all the coaches and everybody involved with Orange Lutheran. Right, it's a family atmosphere there, and that's how everybody treats it. Is that you think that's what kids see right off the bat, and they want to be part of that.
They do see that and want to be part of it. Their friends talk to their friends, and it's like they like the school, and they enjoy the environment. And for softball, a lot of their recruiting comes from, most of the recruiting comes from their travel teams. My goal has always been for high school is to make it a fun experience. And when they leave Orange Lutheran, that they'll look back and say that was the best time ever was playing softball in Orange Lutheran.
You mentioned travel ball, such a big part of the softball community. How do you balance that out with girls who want to be part of having that high school experience?
It's twofold. I mean, our JV program, we have a lot of kids that don't play travel ball. Mm. I think it's beneficial for them to experience being on a team. There's a lot of life lessons to be learned from having to work together to be successful. We have that. And then we have for the varsity, we have most of our kids play travel. We structure our program a little differently. We do a lot of we do less stuff in the off season than a lot of other schools do, just because I know they're playing so much. So we focus more on team bonding stuff now, off season and small group skills and that kind of stuff. But when high school season rolls around, they're excited to play.
We've obviously seen girls over the years. I've covered it, girls who started playing high school and then maybe stopped, said the high school season wasn't worth it for them. They were going to concentrate on travel ball. Do you see a renewal in high school sports and kids wanting to be part of that high school experience, being part of that team with kids they go to school with?
I think it depends on the program.
Mm-hmm.
We play a very competitive schedule against a lot of very good teams, so I think they feel like they're getting good experience. Our high school program definitely prepares them more for college. We have a great lifting program. The college coaches prefer their kids to play high school ball because it is more like college. You're going to school. You're with your teammates every day. You practice every day. It's a good experience for them and prepares them well for what they're going to get in college.
What's the level of the high school softball player these days? I mean, how much better is the kid playing today than 10, 15, 20 years ago?
It's a lot better. This is my 21st season, and we definitely have a lot more talented kids than we did when I first started. I don't know if they work out too much. Unfortunately, for high school, for a lot of sports, the kids specialize too early, and they focus on one sport. So everybody feels the need to do the extra work to be able to compete. Yeah, the outcome of that is we have some very talented kids. The downside is they don't play as many sports as they should.
Yeah. Do you still have some girls who do play multiple sports, or is everybody kind of specializing now?
We encourage it. We always get a few that play multiple sports freshman, sophomore year, and then by the time they get their junior year, they're concentrating on softball. But I think it's good to play other sports. I think it's good to have a fun sport in addition to the one that you're working hard at. Play at the next level.
Well, and it's so true. I mean, obviously, if you want to be able to get to that collegiate level, and we see so many girls in Southern California that are good enough to play at that next level. At some point, you have to commit full-time and do it. And I imagine the colleges want to see the girls commit full-time, do it at some point as well.
Right. That's true. Yeah, we have, on this team, we're pretty blessed. We have 14 on our varsity team, and 13 of them are committed.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that really is. So there's obviously opportunities to play at the next level.
Yes, there is. Yeah, we benefit from the weather out here in California, and that's, they can play year-round, which is a big advantage.
Right, which always helps big time. Right. Steve Miklos is the head softball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. The Lancers off to a tremendous start this season. Number one team, as we mentioned, in Orange County and in Southern California, and racing to the front of the pack. And that's obviously a race that's going to be a tough one to keep going, because we talk about the Trinity League and the level of competition there. You'll see no better competition anywhere than what you'll see in your own league, right?
That's exactly right. This year is no exception. Modern Day is a very fast team. They've got a very good team over there this year, and so does Santa Margarita. Santa Margarita probably has the best pitcher, I think, going into the season with Paige. They've got some good players. Modern Day has got a lot of speed. Rosary's down a little bit, but they've got some very good hitters on their team. So it's going to be a dogfight for the Trinity League. I don't think anybody's going undefeated in league.
That
game's going to be tough.
Yeah, that's a rarity, right? And no team could ever go undefeated, I don't think, in the Trinity. That would be a lot to ask, right?
It would be a lot to ask.
Give us some of the top players on your team. We want to talk about some of those athletes as well as they've started this season.
Probably one of the top players is Sierra Briggs. She's committed to LSU. She's a junior. She's a five-tool player. She's got a lot of speed. She's a phenomenal center fielder. She's probably one of the best center fielders in California. She can hit for power. She can slap. She does it all. Just a great leader on the field. It's a different mix. We lost three really big-time players, and we're kind of more team this year, I think, just from the standpoint that everybody is contributing. Our wins that we got this past weekend in the Mavi tournament, a lot of different girls stepped up in different games and helped us, which is great. We're not dependent on one person to carry us. We have our first baseman is Kira Lascola. She hit really well in that tournament. She's going to Dartmouth. Our shortstop, Mariah Rodriguez, is going to Ohio State. She's a very good hitter and a very good shortstop. Our second baseman, Victoria Fragoso, is verbal to Kentucky. Had some big hits for us, power hitter. We've got a couple kids that were that have transferred in that are currently in the sit-out period. According to CIF rules, mm-hmm. that become eligible in April. One of them is that we're looking forward to seeing how she's going to help us out is Paloma, and I'm not going to get her last name right, is Quano. She's going to Arkansas. Our pitchers have stepped up. That was our biggest question mark this year was our pitching staff because we lost Maddie Dwyer, who helped us the last 4 years.
Right.
He won over 100 games the last 4 years and is now pitching at Stanford. So the big question mark for us is our pitching. And Mia Bagatorian, who's a junior, she's going to Dartmouth. She's stepped up and pitched some very good games for us. And also Taryn Lennon, who is committed to BYU, and she's a sophomore. So we have two pitchers, and they're splitting time, and they complement each other really well, which is different than we had the last 4 years, where we just had one big stud in the circle, and Maddie kind of carried us a little bit with her pitching.
You bring up a kid like Taryn Lennon. I was noticing right a sophomore that comes in right away. There's a chance for kids to come in, even at the freshman level sometimes, and make an impact right away, right?
That's correct. It's really... You know, they come in and it's like who's playing that position and who's ahead of them. So it's luck has a lot to do with it. If the best kid that she could be a freshman, she could be a senior at you know whatever position, it's they definitely have a shot.
So much more in softball, it seems, that kids do it with the bat and the pitch. We see great pitchers who are also doing with the bat. I mean, Taryn's hitting .500 on the season, the second on your team with seven RBIs, right?
Right. Taryn's got a very good bat. She's matured a lot. She's one that started for us in the outfield as a freshman, but definitely she's gotten a lot stronger in 1 year and matured a lot. She's a very good hitter with a lot of power. So we're excited for what she's been doing so far.
As you look forward, obviously, we mentioned the great start and just the one loss on the season. Do you see more growth potential in this team and the ability to get even better as the season goes on?
That's the game plan.
Right.
we'll see how that works out. But my goal is, and I stress that with our players, is you know we want to get better every week, every game. We want to learn what we need to work on to improve just to get ready for Trinity League, because Trinity League is where it's at for us. And that's what determines whether we go to the playoffs or not. So our, you know, the tournaments are nice, but it's for us getting ready for league. We try to get better and better. So I think there's definitely room for us to get better. There's some things that we need to work on that we identified during our most recent tournament, and that's the goal. We don't want to be peaking now.
Right.
We want to be peaking when we hit league.
Well, as we know here, because we cover the Trinity every week, no matter the sport, right, the Trinity League is the top competition anywhere. And, with a great start, you want to keep that momentum going into the Trinity League as well. Coach, I want to thank you for joining us this week on Catholic Sports. Good luck to the Lancers, number one right now. Keep that going, and we'll follow you as the season goes on.
Great. Thank you very much.
Steve Miklos, the head softball coach at Orange Lutheran High School. Much more right here on Catholic Sports 2 when we come back on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Fridays? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's Fish Taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
To Catholic Sports View. We're going to focus on Rosary Academy now for a couple of minutes and talk to the lacrosse coach out at Rosary, and that's Chaz Hammond. Coach, thanks for joining us here on Catholic Sports View for a couple of minutes.
Oh, my pleasure, Bob. Good to be here.
Well, you know, we'll talk about, you're also the associate head volleyball coach at the school, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, but, you know, let's talk about lacrosse season as it's underway, and, you know, it's kind of a unique sport that I hadn't covered a lot in my career up until, maybe about 7-8 years ago, and then I loved it. I'm watching it. It's just such a fun sport to cover, and it's got to be a fun sport to play and to coach as well.
It is. You know, it's funny. I'm the same way with it. I had never really, you know, I had no knowledge of lacrosse moving forward up until a couple years ago. And so I've just really gotten into it and really enjoyed it. And it's growing. Popularity is getting huge out here. You know, it came from the East Coast, basically. But it's great.
As we mentioned, you know, you spent a lot of time as a volleyball coach at Rosary. How did the whole lacrosse thing kind of come into your periphery?
Well, it was one of those things. I was meeting with the AD, Tom Tyson. He had mentioned in passing, he said, "Hey, God, we got to find a lacrosse coach." The older coach had decided to go to medical school, and so there was an opening, and he kept bugging me. I kept saying, "Tom, I don't know anything about lacrosse. You know, I want to make sure we're doing the right thing by the girls here." But he kept pushing, and I just relented and said, "Okay, fine." So I got a Lacrosse for Dummies book. I started looking at YouTube videos, and luckily I surrounded myself with a couple of great coaches that know the game, and we kind of went from there.
Are there any parallels to coaching lacrosse that kind of cross over what you've done previously in your career?
Well, the good thing with lacrosse that I try to equate all of my, you know, the limited knowledge I have on lacrosse is equating it to basketball. I played a lot of basketball growing up, and a lot of the same movement or strategy, terminology is basically, a lot of it's the same. So I've kind of been able to kind of get into it that way by relating it through a sport I do know well. But, you know, so far it's just, the learning curve was a little stiff last year, but I think I'm starting to, you know, I pick it up. I actually know some of the rules now, and so it's been great. It's been great.
Chaz Hammond is our guest, the lacrosse coach at Rosary Academy. Do you have girls coming to your program who know more about it than you, and are you kind of learning from them in a way too?
Oh, absolutely. We've got some great kids that have been playing for several years, and they are well-versed on a lot of the different things as far as, you know, technical aspect, you know, just the individual skills and the stick skills and things like that we need to make sure we're, you know, spreading to all the kids. But we had a good foundation to build on, and we're going in the right direction. So that's good.
This is a new program at the school, right? Or newer, I think 2011 or somewhere around there was the first year that the school actually fielded a lacrosse team.
Exactly. Yeah. 2011 was the first year, and they've been playing kind of a freelance schedule, which we are again this year as well. I think CIF's going to make it kind of an official sport, so to speak, and try to get some league affiliations in the next year or two, and then we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, we've certainly seen the explosion of boys lacrosse, you know, across the county, and I imagine the girls' game is following suit.
Absolutely, it's huge. I was surprised this year. We have 8 freshmen on the team, and the majority of them have some sort of lacrosse experience because they've been playing. You know, there's a great club in North Orange County that the coach over at Esperanza runs, Brian, and he does a great job with it. And we, you know, we have a few of the girls that have played in that club, and it's growing. It kind of reminds me of the way volleyball used to be, you know, 15, 20 years ago, as far as club volleyball. Now that's obviously exploded. And I think, you know, girls lacrosse is going in that same direction.
Yeah. We're seeing similar ice hockey has really, you know, grown exponentially here in Southern California, in recent years. So we're seeing some of these quote unquote East Coast sports really become West Coast sports now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, hockey's huge. That's crazy. And I know a lot of the Trinity League schools have, you know, have teams, and it's massive. So we're hoping lacrosse becomes that same type of, you know, the momentum's there. It's growing. Last year we barely had 14 kids to play, you know, and we just couldn't get the interest. And this year we had over 30 kids sign up and get a lot of, you know, we had to do tryouts, and, you know, we couldn't keep everybody, but it was just amazing in a 1-year period how much farther the growth has gotten. So it's good to see.
Yeah, Chaz Hammond is the head lacrosse coach at Rosary Academy. He's our guest this week on Catholic Sports. Are you able to go out and kind of recruit girls to come in, or does somebody have to be playing for several years to be able to come in and compete at this level?
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, we're lucky that, like I said, this year we've gotten some girls in, and we have girls currently on the team that have been playing since they've been at Rosary that came from the club world and have a lot of experience. And they're, you know, it's one of those things where they're coming to Rosary. They already have been playing a little lacrosse, and now we've got enough kids on the team and the program's growing and, you know, we're moving in that direction, but it's mostly kids that are just coming that have started to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what I'm finding so far.
You mentioned club. So there is a club scene. Obviously you're familiar with club, but being a volleyball coach, club volleyball is humongous.
Oh yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. There's a great North Orange County lacrosse club that, is popular. And several of our girls have played for that club. And it's one of those things, like I said, it's just the momentum's going and lacrosse, club lacrosse, high school level is just, it's getting big.
You mentioned your basketball guy, growing up, longtime volleyball coach at Rosary. Are you settling into this whole lacrosse thing?
I am. Like I mentioned, it's been a challenge to learn a new game. And luckily I've been able to kind of equate some of the things that you do in lacrosse with basketball and vice versa. So I can understand it. And one of our coaches, Brianna, Coach Bree, she played in college and she actually went to Rosary and played there and then went on to play in college. And having her on board this year especially has really helped. We're getting a little bit more fine-tuned. I've learned a ton from her just so we're making sure we're going in the right direction and getting all the kids on board with the right techniques and strategy and that type of thing. So it's been good.
The season is just underway, right? Just a few games in. Is part of the challenge to find other schools to be able to schedule?
It has been. Luckily, there's enough. CIF publishes a list of schools participating, and so we've been able to get a full schedule this year. But there are several new schools. I know, like Laguna Beach, Jay Sarah. It's their inaugural season this year, and we're actually playing both schools. But it's one of those things where I think, you know, more schools are adding it. It's getting bigger and bigger. And again, you know, we were lucky enough to get a whole schedule this year set up. So,
as I mentioned, it's a fun sport for everyone listening out there. You know, get out and get a chance. Really, it's thought of as an East Coast sport, but really starting to blossom here in Southern California. You know, we mentioned your volleyball background, and you know, it's a longtime volleyball coach at Rosary, and so I imagine. Your coaching was something that you wanted to get into, you know, early on in your teaching career?
Yes. You know, it was one of those things where I had a career outside of Rosary for many, many years. I was in sales and outside sales for, oh gosh, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And then as my kids started growing up, you know, I did the natural progression to start coaching them and let them kind of do their thing. And then I started coaching at their junior high. And then I ended up having a meeting with Tom at our AD at Rosary, and he asked me to come help out with volleyball, and then one thing led to another, and that's kind of where I've come to at this point. But kind of started with just coaching my own kids and then letting them go do their own thing. So it's been great.
You know, I say longtime coach, you know, I think it's third year at Rosary, but sometimes, you know, coaches come and go so quickly in this landscape. 3 years can be a long time for a coach to spend out of school.
you're right. That's true. And luckily with, you know, and then of course in Trinity League, you know, the competition, especially at volleyball, is phenomenal. I mean, I think three of the five teams, you know, were either won CIF or were in the finals or state or something. I mean, it's crazy. So and those coaches are, you know, they've been there a few years and they do an excellent job, and it's a good situation for us to be in to compete against schools like that. So it's a really neat deal.
Yeah, it's so true. I mean, it's one thing to kind of be coaching in a neighborhood school or whatever. You get to the Trinity League, that's a whole different level of athlete, a whole different level of competition. It's the big time.
Oh, it definitely is. I mean, the Trinity League as a whole, pretty much in every sport, is, you know, one of, if not the top league, in the state, and, you know, even moving out into other states across the country, it's top notch in all the sports. So
it's special for you as well. Your daughter has come back and is coaching, in the volleyball program as well. She's a Rosary graduate.
She is. She's actually going to Cal State Fullerton right now. She's a senior. She went there on a track scholarship, and to have her come back and do volleyball, that kind of was her first passion, and she enjoys it. And it's great to have her there and have her coach with me. And and she's enjoying it. I know she's excited to come back yet another year this year and then get off into the real world. She graduates in May, and then it'll be time to get a real job and get out and go do her thing. So, but it's exciting to have her around, definitely.
Is coaching maybe something that's kind of getting into her blood a little bit? Maybe something she could see herself doing as a career?
That's a great question. I think it actually is. It's interesting. She told me a couple of weeks ago, she said, "Hey, Dad, I talked to one of the track coaches at Rosary," and she said, "I think I'm going to see if I can go volunteer over there, you know, maybe one day a week," even though she just started her outdoor season a couple of weeks ago, but she has a little bit of time, maybe one afternoon a week. And I thought, oh, that's good for her, because I think she has a lot to offer, and she, being a Rosary and alumna, she loves the school and she knows the coaches well over there, and it'd be a great opportunity for her, and I think it's something she might want to get into as she, you know, she moves forward.
Is it kind of the same thing for you now that you've done it for a couple of years? It's part of who you are, right? I mean, this coaching thing really seems to grab a hold of people in a special way.
Well, it really does, and it's teams like this year, or this particular lacrosse team. It's those are the kind of teams that grab you and just go, okay, you know what? This is such a cool thing, and I'm so lucky and blessed to be coaching these girls. And it's a great group. And you're right. When you get you kind of get into it, all of a sudden it's like, man, they got you. And then before you know it, you've been doing it for 10 years, and you're like, what the heck just happened here? But it's awesome. It's great.
Being lacrosse being such a young sport, you're going to be one of the veteran coaches here pretty quick. You know?
Yeah, it seems like it. I know there's a little bit of turnover. There's literally a coaching shortage, I know, for lacrosse coaches in Orange County. I think there's more schools that want to have a program or get a program started, but there just isn't enough coaches yet to fill the need. So hopefully that'll turn around and they'll get some more people out here and get more schools involved with it and build it up from there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we certainly know Rosary's in good hands, the lacrosse program and the volleyball program with the Hammond family at the charge here. So
there you go. That's great.
Yeah, Coach, want to thank you for joining us this week on Catholic Sports. Good luck, and we'll be following the Royals as the season goes on this year.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Chaz Hammond, the head lacrosse coach and associate volleyball coach at Rosary Academy. Much more to come on the program when we come back right here on Relevant Radio.
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do."
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Therese. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Fried Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.
Let's welcome to Catholic Sports View, the head baseball coach at Santa Margarita High School, Chris Malik. Coach, thanks for taking some time to join us here on the program.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the baseball season is still fresh, it's the beginning of spring. We finally turned the clocks. I guess it feels like spring a little bit, even though we're getting some rain here in Southern California. But, the baseball season is underway, and that's the best news of all, right?
Absolutely. You know, we're fortunate to kind of got done spiking the fields for some games this afternoon, and we're lucky to have a little good weather and hopefully get on the field tomorrow.
Yeah, obviously early in the season, it's tournament time. It's really the time, you know, it seems like kind of a hair on fire kind of scheduling because it always feels like teams are running around everywhere, you know, playing tournaments. You like that kind of a hurried atmosphere early in the season?
I love it. You know, it's a short season with 30 games, and we've run into that lower tournament, for the last 30 years at the school, and I love it as a way to kind of get a chance to show the overall depth of your ball club, get opportunities to get some guys into the game, and just kind of hit the ground running, and so get them the firm atmosphere of what it's like to ultimately play in the Trinity League and play three games a week, and kind of get them conditioned for that three game a week kind of mentality.
You mentioned the Trinity League, and we'll talk about that in just a minute, because that's going to be enough to deal with down the line. But on the flip side of that, is it important to be able to have some really good competition early in the season because you're going to see such good teams when you get into league?
Absolutely. You know, I think that for us, it's extremely important. We have a younger club, and we want to kind of get our guys learning what it's like to ultimately play Division One baseball. And we're fortunate to still be in the Division One bracket, and we'd love to be able to find a way to get into the playoffs this year and compete there and just get our guys acclimated and to that kind of environment. And it's a tough dogfight each and every game, and teams are going to come out to get us and compete with us, and hopefully, you know, our guys kind of start to rise up to that challenge.
Chris Malik joining us, the head baseball coach at Santa Margarita High School. You know, obviously, you talk about having the guys rise up to the challenge. Tell us about your team this year. How are the guys kind of getting along and getting going here early in the season?
You know, it's kind of a unique environment with a coaching change kind of midseason right there. And the kids have responded well. They're young. They're resilient. You know, we have quite a mix of balance between sophomores, juniors and seniors on the club. It's built around our pitching staff, led by Chandler Champlain, you know, who's looking to go to, he's going to USC next year, and he's looking to hopefully find a way through the MLB draft this coming year. And our pitching staff is kind of the cornerstone of what we're trying to do, the pitching and defense. And, you know, we've got a junior pitcher that was a starter for us last year in Alex Schreier. And he's back doing a good job. And we've got a young sophomore starting as well. And we've got some good relievers that are going to come out of the pen. And it's kind of built around that. In regards to our position players, it's kind of a balance. I think we got about three sophomores, three juniors, and three seniors in the lineup. So it's a good balance for us, and the boys have been resilient. They've been responding to just the challenge and just the whole new environment that's kind of being created, especially during that tough transition period.
Yeah, you mentioned the coaching change, and of course, Dave Bocconi, longtime, you know, head coach at Santa Margarita. You know, we couldn't think of Santa Margarita baseball without thinking of Coach Bocconi, but, you know, he decided to step aside. When did you know this was all going to happen and you know, the job was going to kind of be thrust upon you?
Honestly, it was kind of a surprise to me as well when David talked about, you know, resigning, and it kind of came up pretty abruptly. And we didn't really totally anticipate it. And I had actually honestly never thought about coaching at this level in terms of the high school things. And, you know, one of my goals was always to kind of go down the collegiate road. And so it was kind of a change. So it kind of happened pretty quick in that December time period. But I'm just excited about it. It's been fun. I've been enjoying it and looking forward to it. And it's a really neat environment to make an impact on young lives.
Is it one of those things where you didn't know you were going to enjoy it until it actually happened?
Yeah, it was like, hey, you know, can I do this? Is it going to work? Is it going to work with the family? You know, my wife teaches, and just how to balance it all and to make it work. So it's been a pleasant surprise, and I've really enjoyed, you know, the challenges of it, the getting to know the kids at a deeper level, and just kind of work, you know, just overall working with 70 players in the program.
Obviously, it helps that you know, you're a graduate of Santa Margarita. You know, you went to school there, so you know the lay of the land.
Yeah, it's fortunate to be at my alma mater. We live in the neighborhood, so it's really nice to be back kind of at home and a place that made such a big impact on my life.
Was that important to the athletic department that you are, you know, a homegrown guy? That, you know, is it important to have those kind of guys within the system?
I think it's extremely important. You know, guys coming back to the school and realizing that one of the things I conveyed during the process was just how fortunate I was to learn how to play the game and how to play the game the right way when I was in high school, and I wanted to be able to give that back to the student athletes at Santa Margarita that give them the experience that I was able to get.
Chris Malik joining us, head baseball coach at Santa Margarita High School. You know, you're after Santa Margarita, you went on to UC Santa Barbara, played baseball there at a high level. Give us a little bit of your career arc, you know, about what it was like to go play college baseball and you know, kind of go be able to do that at the D1 level.
You know, at the D1 level, I was a late senior sign. I was kind of a later bloomer, trying to find my way, a lack of physical skill set, you know, couldn't run, didn't throw hard, didn't have much power, but enjoyed being around the game. I was fortunate to go to Santa Barbara, stay relatively close to home, play Division I baseball in the Big West, and that was certainly a challenge each and every day. You know, you look back at some of the pitchers that some of the other schools ran out there on every Friday and Saturday night, and a lot of them you're watching on TV in big stadiums these days, and it's a dogfight every night, and just a unique experience to kind of grow do some different things. I was fortunate enough to get a chance to sign, play a little professional baseball, and travel the world, get a life experience. Kind of playing is just like a filler for the Yankees organization for a number of years. Just hanging around, just trying to learn more about the game and how to kind of continue to grow. So I was pretty lucky with what I was able to accomplish with my lack of physical skill set.
Yeah, I was going to say, drafted by the Yankees in 05, got to the double-A level and you know, got a chance to play, as you said, professional baseball. Not too many guys get that opportunity. Did you know at that point maybe baseball was your future? You wanted to make that a career, or, you know, were there other things in your mind?
It was always a dream. That was kind of, you know, what I wanted to do. When I found myself in college, you know, it kind of towards the tail end, like, hey, what am I going to do when my college baseball career is over? You know, I wanted to get into coaching, maybe in the athletic administration side of things. You know, didn't know much about pretty much anything at that point in life. And the Yankees called up, said, hey, you know, we've got to, you know, we drafted you, selected you, and it was, hey, let's make this run as long as we can and use it kind of as an internship life experience. And I kind of realized that coaching was going to be in my future at some point in time, and just try to soak up and learn as much as I possibly could during that time period.
Kind of wanted to ask you about, you know, your experience collegiately within professional baseball. Are you able to transform some of those experiences and help some of the kids that obviously you have some kids who have, you know, bigger dreams, are going to be able to play collegiately, maybe have the talent to play at that ultimate level?
Yeah, I think, you know, playing that longer season, you know, you have 54 games in the collegiate environment, and then in professional baseball, you're playing 144. You get a little bit more perspective and kind of being able to learn how to play it a little bit more even keeled. You know, that 30-game stretch in the high school season comes so fast, and keeping that energy up all the way through. You know, one thing I'm trying to translate is the boys is just that the mental toughness side of things, but also just how to have a little bit of perspective and understand that, okay, hey, we had one loss. It's not the end of the world. You're playing 144 in a professional season kind of taught me that. But just to be able to remain, not ride that roller coaster and stay even keeled mentally and physically throughout the course of not only a game, but game to game, and making those kinds of adjustments on a regular basis. And just, for me, without, you know, that lengthy time period of playing 144 in a row, I don't know if I would have been able to convey that as well, get that 30-game perspective in high school. And it's just like every game, there's so much riding on it. There's so much energy that the kids bring. And it's good to have that energy, but also to understand, okay, hey, it's not the end of the world. I got out, get to that next pitch, and be able to work that kind of perspective for them. So for me, that's one of the biggest lessons that I'm able to apply it to towards the young players that we have right now.
Are you on the bandwagon with so many other coaches who would like to see a longer high school baseball season?
I love it. I think it's great. The kids, you know, they put a lot into it. I think that, you know, you lengthen it out. A state playoff would be phenomenal. A double elimination kind of tournament format in the playoffs. You know, it turns into like a March Madness kind of a thing,
right,
once the guys get to the playoffs. So for me, yes, I'm absolutely for it. I think it allows the kids to be able to plan out their pitching. You know, they have a lot of things that kind of that they are required to kind of go to throughout the summer and the fall with all these different things that they're pulled towards. So just to have a little bit more work structure, I think would be a great thing.
The Trinity League, of course, beckons a few weeks away, you know, down the road, and I imagine it's probably the best league anywhere you're going to find, just because of the talent involved. And it's one of those things where how can you pick who the favorite is in this league? Because I think just about any school, especially this year, has a chance to win this league.
It's amazing, just the talent depth from top to bottom, left to right. It's truly phenomenal. And then you add in, you know, 17-year-old boys with a bunch of energy that they got when they come into these games. You know, I think anybody can beat anybody, you know, and they are young men. They make mistakes and they kind of do things. And it's just, it's remaining calm and staying focused and continuing to stay positive, which is a challenge. And it's a good lesson for the young boys to kind of learn this time. But with the league, you know, the depth, it's a dogfight each and every game, you know, getting into, you're up 4-0 in a game. Next thing you know, it's 4-4 in the sixth. And how'd that happen? And it's remaining calm and kind of teaching the boys how to be able to play in a dogfight every single game, and so much riding on every single game. It's an incredible league. It's an incredible format to kind of get the boys hopefully acclimated to a Division I kind of atmosphere at some point in time in their lives.
Is it important to have, you know, juniors and seniors who have been through it already, you know, maybe once or twice, that they can help out the younger guys, you know, kind of learn that? But in a way, too, you just sort of have to be part of it to learn what it's like to be in those kind of games.
You know, it's a little bit of both. You know, you got to have some older guys with some experience talking through, hey, we can get through this, to the younger guys. But ultimately, you have to kind of go through it and understand it and how your body reacts to it. Each person's slightly different, but having that experience and just guys taking under the wing, you know, we talk a little bit about the Cardinals culture, St. Louis Cardinals, where they have all these guys teach younger players, you know, from when they come up through spring training and rookie ball, how to work, how to act, how they do things. And that's something that we're trying to articulate in our program as well.
You enjoying the experience? You mentioned maybe if you thought the collegiate thing would be your path, but you see yourself kind of making roots here and settling down in Santa Margarita for a while?
That's what's my hope. You know, fortunate my wife teaches there. We live right around the corner. Yeah. It's a great place for us to be. I hope to, you know, it allows me to be around my family a little bit more, which is something that's important to us. And I never thought it happened, but it's been a blessing in disguise, and I'm fortunate to land where we landed.
Yeah, it's so true. And you know, of course, we know what a great atmosphere it is and what a campus it is. And to be part of the Trinity League, nothing better than that. No higher form of baseball in high school, especially here in Southern California. Coach, I want to thank you for joining us here this week at Catholic Sports. Good luck. Get those Eagles going, and we'll be following you along the season.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
All right. Thank you, Coach. That is Chris Malik, the head baseball coach at Santa Margarita High School. Much more to come right here on Catholic Sports View. You're listening to Relevant Radio.
This coming July, join Bishop Tim Fryer, the Diocesan Choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City in Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise departing from Naples that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in Christendom. Visit the birthplace of St. Junipero Serra in Mallorca, Spain. Celebrate Mass in the famed Gaudi Cathedral of Sagrada Familia in Barcelona, and visit Pisa and Florence, Italy. For more information, call 877-538-0010 or go to occatholic.com/travel.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
We welcome into the program Les Lukacs. He is the state scouting director for the state of California for the Prep Baseball Report. The website is prepbaseballreport.com/California. Les, thanks for joining us this week here on Catholic Sports View.
Bob, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, baseball season, it's spring, right? I mean, it's I guess still technically winter, but spring is here, especially in the state of California. The sun is shining, and it's baseball year-round anyway. You describe yourself as a self-described baseball junkie, as lots of us are here in the state. How'd you get into this website? And I know you've been on Twitter for a long time, and you've been running around baseball circles for years now. How'd you get into this scouting aspect of it?
Well, you know, Bob, I used to coach travel baseball and high school baseball. And when time became of the essence, my wife and I, we started growing our family a bit. I had to pull away a little bit from the coaching aspect of things. And so about 6-7 years ago, I started a blog. I would go out, watch some high school baseball games, and just jot some notes down on this blog. And that seemed to be pretty well received, and it took off pretty quickly, much to my surprise. From there, I got an opportunity to work for a couple of different scouting services, both locally and nationally. And after, the extreme travel with that across the country, with this, small child, it was just not working out for me. And, then Prep Baseball Report came to me with an opportunity, and it was one of those things that it was too good to pass up. And, so here we are, excited to launch California. Now, obviously, one of the best states in the country for high school baseball, if not the best. You know, we're pretty spoiled, as you said. You know, we get to play baseball year-round, and so that means we get to watch baseball year-round from my perspective and evaluate something that, you know, we feel was an underserved element of our sporting community here in California.
Yeah, so true. And I can attest to how great your blog was when you started it, you know, years back. I found it. I caught onto it. And such detailed information in there and so invaluable, just information on different players and different kids. And we're not just talking the ones on the radar, the ones kind of off the radar, too, who became on the radar kids. I mean, is that a part of what you do is kind of going around and trying to identify the just where the talent is here in California?
Absolutely. You know, it's pretty simple to do a quick search on the internet. You can find out, you know, who the top 1 or 2% players are. But, you know, what I pride myself on and what we as an organization pride ourselves on is, you know, finding those guys that, you know, maybe college coaches or pro scouts don't just quite know yet, whether they are underclassmen or upperclassmen, you know, guys who haven't traveled the country playing in various tournaments and various events. You know, those are the guys that I like to find because there's nothing more rewarding than bringing a little bit of notoriety to a kid who can clearly play the game but maybe just hasn't taken up the opportunities to travel the country or play in these various events. You know, and when you have a conversation with a college coach or a pro scout, you know, then they go out and see them and they say, man, you know, it's pretty spot on evaluation. You know, it's pretty rewarding, obviously intrinsically, but, I think what it does for the player is the greatest reward.
Yeah, so true. Les Lukacs joining us, prepbaseballreport.com/California as we talk all things baseball here locally. And of course, we're going to get into the Trinity League, which is our focus here. And, you know, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the process of getting out. Obviously, there's so many hundreds of schools and just in this area in Southern California, much less the entire state here. How do you concentrate on what you want to write about, what you want to focus on? It's obviously a big job.
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to relationships, as you know, in any industry.
Oh, yeah.
If you have good relationships, you're going to be pretty successful. And I was very fortunate through coaching and through my blog to establish some really good relationships with high school coaches, travel ball coaches, college coaches, and pro scouts who, you know, they alert me of guys at times. You know, I got a text this morning, as a matter of fact, from a high school coach out in the Palm Desert area, said, look, we have two kids that nobody knows about who can play. You know, and just having those sorts of relationships has been incredibly helpful. And at that point, it, you know, takes a great matter of time management, resource management. You know, I don't want to be, you know, the last thing you want to do is, you know, I'm based in Orange County is, you know, drive up to, you know, say Bakersfield or Fresno or Stockton and to see a couple of kids. And, you know, it turns out that, you know, they may or may not, you know, have the skill sets necessary to advance their baseball careers. You know, so that's where the relationships come into play. And, you know, high school coaches and college coaches, again, have been incredibly helpful for me to kind of gauge how to manage my time, how to manage where we want to go, the guys we want to go see, the teams we want to see, you know, to be able to write thorough reports and most importantly, you know, unbiased reports.
Yeah, you know, obviously that's important. You know, people want to get the correct information. You know, who's your customer? I mean, if somebody logs on to prepbaseballreport.com, what are they getting there?
Well, currently we have over 850 college coaches subscribed to our platform. We have a number of different MLB scouts that are also subscribed. You know, but our customers are high school age players. You know, we will run a series of events to where that helps bring players to one facility where we can then evaluate a number of players. Parents obviously are interested in knowing what not only their sons are doing, but what other players are doing. It's kind of a broad spectrum of, you know, from the player to the general baseball fan to the college coaches and recruiters to the pro scouts.
We mentioned baseball season is right here, and I have to believe the Trinity League is really the epicenter in Southern California of all the great baseball talent. Do you find that to be true?
I do find that to be true. My opinion is that it is unquestionably one of the top two or three leagues in the state,
yeah.
And many people outside of our state believe that it's the top league in the country. And when you look at some of the talent that plays in the league, it's understandable. I was at an event recently in Chicago, and we were discussing a number of teams from the Trinity League, and you know, some of my colleagues from around the country, to a man, essentially said, you know, it's the best league in the country. You guys are so spoiled and so lucky. And we are spoiled and lucky. And when you look at the numbers of just players committed to play collegiately already, it's upwards of 50 Division I commitments or signees in just one league. You're not going to find that anywhere else in the country. You know, the Mission League up in Los Angeles, it might have something to say about that, but Harvard Westlake and Notre Dame and Chaminade and some of the other teams in that league, also very, very talented. But I'm a little biased. I think that the Trinity League, in my opinion, is unquestionably the best league, you know, certainly in Southern California and potentially in the country.
And we just had the number one pick in the baseball draft come out of the Trinity League as well from Jay Sarah, so that doesn't hurt either.
No, absolutely. Royce was an incredibly talented player and by all accounts, an even better person. And so, you know, he was a lot of fun to watch for the last 4 years, and it's going to be fun to watch to see where his career takes him in pro ball.
Yeah, it's so true. It's going to be a lot of fun for all of us to watch that. Obviously, it starts with the coaching, you know, Coach Borba, Coach Barbara, Coach Call. I think having that basis of coaches, Coach K at Jay Sarah, as we just talked about as well, having the basis of longtime coaches, guys that are really dialed into those programs, helps keep that stability and keeps those programs strong.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Don't forget Coach Gilbert and Coach Malik serve at San
Yes,
Margarita.
And San Margarita as well, right? No, don't want to forget anybody, right?
you hit the nail on the head, right? I mean, these guys are first and foremost, they're baseball men.
Yeah.
And what they've done at their programs is really, it's really incredible. And what I really like about the Trinity League is there is a commitment to not only baseball, but every sport, but baseball in particular, from these coaches and from the administrators in this league, and it shows on the field of play. You know, they take their jobs very seriously. A lot of these programs are, you know, right or wrong, are run essentially like college programs. You know, and having been around these guys for a number of years, you see why the talent wants to come play there. You know, you go to a Jay Sarah practice, for example, and you watch the way Brett Kay runs his practice, and it's not too dissimilar from the way they run a practice at Cal State Fullerton where he played. You know, you go to a modern day practice, and it's just they are very efficient in how they manage not only their teams, but their practices and, you know, the things they're doing to make their players get better and ultimately try to achieve their goal of playing beyond high school.
Yeah, and so many have. I mean, obviously we talk about, you know, Royce Lewis. That's, you know, Exhibit A right there. But so many kids have moved on from this area, and not just in the Trinity League. We're talking about all of Orange County, all of L.A. County. I mean, this is really, as we talked about, the hotbed of baseball. But, especially within the Trinity League. Now last year, Orange Lutheran was the talk of the town. Everybody thought the Lancers were going to be the top team. Of course, Modern Day is always in the mix. And ended up St. John Bosco. I don't want to say they came out of nowhere, but came up to win that league and really dominate. Does that just show you how close the competition is within the league?
It does, and it goes to show you just the depth of talent within the league. A couple of years ago, Donnie Barbara said to me, "says, well, you know what? I think we're a year or two away." And then seeing them last year's senior class as sophomores, you know, it was pretty easy to understand that. And I've known Donnie a while, and you know, he's not one of those guys that will fill you full of hot air,
right?
Just to pump up his program. And you know, he was spot on. I mean, they have the pitching depth and the pitching talent and you know, a number of good hitters that, you know, may have surprised some people, but if you followed kind of their path and their trajectory, it wasn't really much of a surprise, you know, for those of us that are into that sort of thing, you know, following these guys for a number of years. It was really neat to see. That's a, you know, tradition-rich baseball program. Obviously, Evan Longoria, Nomar Garcia-Parra, to name a few, to come out of there. And what he's done in just two or three years is really, really impressive to get that program back to where it is. You know, this year they have seven Division I commits, led by Cameron Ojeda, who's committed to Cal State Fullerton, who is, you know, likely a top 10 round pick coming up in the draft. He's a catcher, left-handed hitting with some power. They're starting to attract some talent as well. So it's no longer, the modern days, the Jay Sarahs and the Orange Lutherans of the world. Servite Coach Dilbert has done a phenomenal job in building that program up. And, he has 8 Division I commits this year. I saw them last week. And that's a very talented team, top to bottom. The interesting player will be Santa Margarita. Obviously, they won, CIF a couple of years ago under Coach Picani. He decided to step down. Coach Malik made a seamless transition. Chandler Champlain is their big guy this year. Big right-handed pitcher committed to USC, but he too is likely to be an early selection in the draft. So it's just the depth of talent in this league, it seemingly never ends. And then you talk to these guys, which I have in the last few weeks, and, they all say to a man, my freshman class is outstanding. So it's, they just kind of reload at these programs rather than rebuild.
The pipeline continues.
Yes, indeed.
Les Lukacs joining us, prepbaseballreport.com. He is the California, the head scout in the state of California for the website. Now obviously, it's easy to put, to say, you'd have to make Bosco, the favorite going in, but really, I don't think that really does the league any justice, because we thought we had a favorite last year and it didn't quite turn out. Would you put them as a soft favorite going into the season, or are we looking at one of the other teams as clearly better than any of the others in this league right now?
Well, and that's the thing. I had a conversation with Brett Kay recently, and he says, we're going to be okay. Not a lot of people know about us. We don't, we have some talent, but it's not like years past. And then I went and saw them the other night against Newport Harbor, and I left there just kind of shaking my head. And I said, Brett, you guys are really, really talented. So, it's tough to say, it's tough to say who the early season favorite is. I would say Bosco is there. I'd say Servite is also there. But when you look at a team like Modern Day, who is just absolutely loaded, it's tough to not consider them at or near the top. But then you look at Orange Lutheran, they have 6 Division I pitchers. Anytime you can pitch in this league, you're going to do pretty well, especially playing at fields like Hart Park at night, where the ball just simply does not travel.
Right.
I think every team, you can make an argument as to why they would be a favorite, but then you would look at the flip side of that coin. And you would say, okay, well, there's some question marks for each team. But you put any of these teams in just about any other league in the Southland, and they're no question the favorite to win that league. I didn't necessarily directly answer your question, but I think every team in this league, as we saw last year, has a chance to either win the league or certainly make the postseason, which I believe 5 of the 6 teams made last year, much to the dismay of other leagues around the South.
All we know is it's going to be a fun season to watch, and no matter what, if you're a baseball fan, get out and see a Trinity League game somewhere, because it's going to be a great matchup no matter who's playing in the game.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a lot like a college baseball atmosphere at some of these games. You get into some of the bigger rivalries, obviously Jay Sarah, Santa Margarita, a Servite Modern Day game, an Orange Lutheran Modern Day game. The stands are packed. People are excited. And the product on the field usually is pretty darn good.
And you're going to see it. You're almost guaranteed to see somebody who's going to be a college baseball star and probably a couple professional guys down the road as well.
Yeah, 100% agree with that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Les, I want to thank you for joining us. Once again, it's prepbaseballreport.com/California. And Les is a great follow on Twitter as well. If you're a baseball fan, at Les Lukacs as well. Get on Twitter and follow him as well. All kinds of great information. Hey, Les, thanks for joining us. And we'll catch up with you down the road. We'll talk some more baseball as we get further into the season.
Sounds great. Looking forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks again. That's Les Lukacs with prepbaseballreport.com/California. Thanks again to all my guests this week, Chaz Hammond, Chris Malik, and Steve Miklos. And I want to thank you for listening to Catholic Sports View each and every week right here on Relevant Radio. Simply go to OCCatholic.com/radio if you want to listen to this show or any of the others that we've done over the past couple of months right here. Just go to the website and click on the Catholic Sports View icon, and you can listen to all the shows right there. Thanks again for listening to us this week on Catholic Sports View. I am Bob Gibson, and we'll see you next time.
Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!
When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Experience the profound power of The Passion According to St. Luke, performed by Leonardo DeFilippis, director and star of the feature film Thérèse. In this one-hour presentation, you will encounter Christ speaking directly to you, dying for you personally, and giving you the hope of eternal life. The Passion According to St. Luke is suitable for all ages and is coming soon to our area.
Come see The Passion at Christ Cathedral Garden Grove's Freed Theater, March 16th, 17th, and 18th. For ticket info, visit ccdramaseries.com.